Sie hören den Hörgang.
Mein Name ist Martin Burger. Das ist der Medizin-Podcast, bei dem Sie mehr als nur Gesundheitsfakten aufschnappen. Ich hätte gern, dass Sie auch ein Gefühl dafür bekommen, welche Menschen im Gesundheitssystem tätig sind und was ihre Motivation ist. Heute stelle ich Ihnen einen US-amerikanischen Kinderarzt vor. Dr. Leo Ho. Er ist der neue Mann an der Spitze von Ärzte ohne Grenzen Österreich. Ho folgt einer Frau, nämlich der langjährigen Präsidentin Margareta Mallet. Der Kinderarzt tritt in die Fußstapfen einer Psychotherapeutin. Grund genug, ihn in den Hörgang einzuladen. Herr Dr. Ho, Sie haben gerade erst Ihr Amt angetreten. Seit wann sind Sie für Ärzte ohne Grenzen tätig?
Yeah, since 2006, originally through the US.
So you were working for this organization in the US. That's how you came into contact with doctors.
Yeah, since I was living at the US at that time, since I'm from there, I originally was recruited to the US section. But of course, the missions that we do are in other countries. So my first two missions were in West Africa. And yeah, so actually I was only recruited by the US. I technically didn't work in the US at the Doctors Without Borders office there.
Okay.
Except for a couple short projects I did. But actually, when you first join Ärzte ohne Grenzen, Doctors Without Borders, you often, work in a different country with more pressing medical needs. And that's what I did. And that's what I wanted to do.
So you didn't want to settle down in the US you always wanted to go abroad and work where really needed.
Yeah, that's right. I realized actually in medical school, two things around the same time. One was that I wanted to become a pediatrician, Kinderarzt. And the other one was that I wanted to join Doctors Without Borders and work a long time with them. Yeah, so it was really kind of a formative experience.
Tell us a little bit before we come to Doctors Without Borders, tell us a little bit about your life so far before you entered this business. And as our readers are physicians themselves, tell us a little bit about your education, which was presumably in the US.
Okay, sure. That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm originally, I was born in New York, but I didn't, New York City, I didn't grow up there. I mainly grew up around Cleveland, Ohio, which is a city in the Midwest. It's on one of the Great Lakes called Lake Erie. So it's kind of between Chicago and New York, kind of the Midwest. And I grew up there. And eventually I went to medical school on the East Coast, which was in Philadelphia. I went to a medical school there for 4 years. And then that's when I realized during my medical school years that I wanted to work with Doctors Without Borders. And I wanted to be a pediatrician, like I said. So after that, I went back home to Ohio to do my pediatric training. I did it at a big children's hospital in Akron, Ohio. And it was interesting because already at this point, even before I started my specialty training, I already knew that I wanted to work with Doctors Without Borders. And I remember saying that on the very first day when everyone was introducing themselves, and we had to kind of mention what we wanted to do with pediatrics. And I just remember the first day I just said, yes, my name is Leo Ho, and I would like to do international relief medicine with Doctors Without Borders. And so from when I first had the idea, it took me 10 years to finally get to the field because I had to finish all my education. And then, of course, as you probably know, education in the U.S. is unfortunately very expensive. So I worked a few years in Philadelphia after I did my pediatric training. I worked in a pediatric emergency room in a large children's hospital in North Philadelphia. I worked 3 years in an emergency room. And after 3 years in this pediatric emergency room, I joined Doctors Without Borders and did my first mission in Liberia in 2006.
Was war Ihre Motivation ursprünglich, Ihre Heimat zu verlassen und in exotischen Ländern als Mediziner zu arbeiten? Und ist diese Motivation heute noch dieselbe wie damals?
Yes, it's still very much the same. And it's actually a lot more simple than maybe one would imagine. So basically, I was a young medical student and I was in my early 20s. And during my medical studies, I took a trip to visit a friend who was living and working in Mexico. And when I visited him, the place we were staying was just in a city. And every day we saw the same group of children playing in the streets. And we became friendly with them and we just recognized them. They were there almost every day. And then a couple of weeks later, while I was still there, I came back home in the middle of the night, much past midnight, and I saw the same group of children still hanging around on the streets, but they were sleeping and they were basically sleeping on the streets, huddled up with each other, just trying to keep warm because it was cold and raining. And so this was a very strong impression back when I was in my early 20s, because it was then everything kind of clicked for me. I realized that, you know, there's a different quality of life for each individual person. And a lot of it was based solely upon where a person was born and raised. And so at this time, I also immediately just kind of understood that this kind of discrepancy was happening all around the world in a variety of places, and that I didn't want to accept it. And I wanted to do something about it. And so that's kind of how the wheels first started turning. And if I'm honest, it wasn't at this very instant that I knew I wanted to work with Doctors Without Borders. It was when I went back to Philadelphia, I started, you know, doing my medical rotations in the hospital. I realized I liked pediatrics the best. And then I realized that, and it was at this point I realized that I wanted to be a pediatrician and work internationally with Doctors Without Borders. It just combined everything that I really cared about into one. And it was a very, very powerful experience for me when you finally figure out what you were meant to do.
Herr Dr. Ho, Sie haben gesagt, es macht einen großen Unterschied aus, in welchem Land man geboren ist. Jetzt waren Sie auf der ganzen Welt tätig und haben sich schlussendlich in Österreich niedergelassen. Was unterscheidet uns vom Rest der Welt?
Well, I mean, the thought that I have immediately is that life is very comfortable here in Vienna. Austria is a beautiful country. We have good access to medical care here. We have good quality medical care here. In general, we have enough doctors and nurses and hospitals. So if anything happens, you know, generally we're taken care of. And this is just from a health standpoint. To go back about the medical care is that it's generally free. You know, and it's state supported, and basically it takes care of you. And outside of medicine, there's a lot of similar social programs that really maybe a lot of us take for granted. But if it wasn't for a functioning system, we would actually be suffering a lot more. Additional things about Austria, we don't have to worry so much when we go outside about different dangers. You know, working in West Africa, I saw patients with rabies. It's tollwut, you know, which, you know, we never have to worry here. I saw patients that contracted tetanus, diseases that are just very preventable by vaccination or other public health measures. So I would say that we're very fortunate to live in Austria, which is a very comfortable and great place to live. And yeah, so there's a stark contrast from how we live our lives in Austria to many of the places where Doctors Without Borders works.
Wie schon gesagt, Sie waren in verschiedenen Ländern tätig, auch in Bürgerkriegsgebieten, waren Sie auch in Ländern, in denen Sie der einzige Arzt weit und breit waren.
Yes, definitely. Actually, in many of my missions, I was the only medical doctor around. So, for example, my first mission, I was actually in Monrovia, Liberia, which is the capital of Liberia. Liberia is a country of 3 million. And at the time I was there, they were just coming out of their civil war, which basically destroyed the infrastructure of the country. And basically, they used to have, you know, a functioning health system, but anyone who could leave, of course, left during the civil war. And many people never came back. So by the time I was there, I wasn't even prepared to even contemplate, you know, the lack of doctors and healthcare. And I remember my head of mission at that time of Doctors Without Borders, he told me that I was the only pediatrician in Liberia and that in the entire country, there was only 30 Liberian doctors left, something to that number. And then it was only later, finally, a second pediatrician arrived and it was also another doctor from Doctors Without Borders. So this was really difficult to fathom because I had just come from a pediatric emergency department where we had almost 20 doctors in one department of a pediatric hospital in Philadelphia. So we had more doctors, we had more pediatricians in our small, well, it wasn't a small department, but in our emergency department than this whole country had. So it was just the discrepancy in scale was just sad and unbelievable. And so it just reinforced to me that I made the correct decision. Another example of the scarcity of doctors in Doctors Without Borders is that I was once working in a very rural area, basically in not much was nearby in Ethiopia. And there was a what we call a nutrition crisis due to a famine where they didn't have enough rain. And if you, in some places, if you don't get the harvest from a particular year, a lot of people will actually encounter starvation and severe malnutrition, which often affects young children even more so than adults. And I remember I was the only doctor in this town for many kilometers. And so that basically meant that, of course, I worked in this inpatient feeding center every day. And then at night, if anything happened anywhere in town, I was basically the only doctor. So I was on call basically 24/7 for 2 months in a row. And I enjoyed it. But I mean, there's so few doctors in some places that they have nurses and physician assistants or clinical officers functioning as doctors. So in this area of Ethiopia, there was never a doctor. It was just nurses seeing patients like they were doctors. So it's actually just, yeah, you have to make best of what you have, where you are.
Österreich ist bekannt dafür, dass man sich gern beschwert, dass man motschkert, gewissermaßen auf hohem Niveau jammert. Wie fühlt sich das für jemanden an, der in Epidemiegebieten tätig war, der in Bürgerkriegsländern als Arzt gearbeitet hat?
I would say that I think that it's important to be aware of the disparities, you know, outside of Austria, because there are people suffering. And I think it's important that, for us to realize that we have it pretty good where we are here. With that said, I also believe there's no excuse for any kind of incompetence or any kind of mistakes when things could be done efficiently and well. Because when we talk about public health measures like vaccination, well, it works better the more we vaccinate and the more quickly we vaccinate. So if we realize that in Vienna, that more people could be vaccinated or in Austria more quickly, then of course I think it's fair to complain. If there's nobody actually giving constructive criticism, I like calling it constructive criticism, although sometimes it maybe sounds like the opposite. But if there's nobody paying attention, then there's no accountability. When there's no accountability, things may not really function as well as they should. So unfortunately, sometimes consequences and accountability come into play, and it does make things better sometimes.
Ärzte ohne Grenzen haben ein, sagen wir mal, schwieriges Verhältnis zu ÖVP und zu Kanzler Sebastian Kurz im Besonderen. Wie legen Sie es an? Legen Sie Wert auf gute Beziehungen zur Bundesregierung?
That's an interesting question. I just started, so I haven't contacted anyone yet, but I can tell you that we're often in contact with the Austrian government at national and city level. And it's always good to have good relations with the government of in the country you're working with. That doesn't mean that we necessarily support or disagree with something that the government is doing. We are not, you know, we try not to judge certain governments, including the one we're, you know, aligned with, unless we find something where people are suffering unnecessarily. And in that case, then we will say something. So, for example, in 2015, when we had this European migrant and refugee situation, we spoke up and we actually did some small operations in Austria. So in general, we try to stay neutral. But when people are suffering and to the point where we don't find it acceptable, we do sometimes have to speak up. And it's not to specifically criticize a particular government. It's more just to point out the fact that people are suffering.
Sie folgen auf eine Frau, auf Margareta Mallet, ins Präsidentenamt. Welche Schwerpunkte werden Sie setzen oder auch anders setzen als Ihre Vorgängerin?
First of all, I would like to thank Margareta Mallet for doing a great job. She functioned as the president of Doctors Without Borders in Austria for a number of years. She had done many missions with Doctors Without Borders. She had already been on the Vorstand, the board of directors, and she's been incredibly dedicated for the organization. And I definitely have big shoes to fill. So definitely I want to thank her for that. And of course, with her background in mental health, she certainly pushed for Doctors Without Borders to pay attention to this topic. And I actually support that because mental health I find very important. It's when we do assessments in almost any area around the world, including Europe, that's one of the main gaps that we find. But going back to your question, yes, I am a pediatric specialist. And of course, in my heart, I love children and I want attention to be placed on this area. With that being said, to be fair, Doctors Without Borders has really improved their pediatric care since when I first started in 2006 until now. It's interesting because when I first started, we only had guidelines that were, our medical guidelines mainly were for adults. And maybe one or two sentences at the end of each guideline said, oh, if it's a child, then you give this medication. But clearly that was not enough guidance because children are actually, we often say in pediatrics, children are not just smaller adults. You know, a lot of the things we do for children in and out of the hospital are different than adults, from the type of IV fluids we give to the dose of medicines we give to the type of medicines we give. It's very different than in adults. So over the years, there's been more and more pediatric support in Doctors Without Borders, where we had more, we have now lots and lots of pediatric guidelines and newborn guidelines and how to take care of newborn babies, even for doctors who are not trained in pediatrics. So we have these guidelines that we use in the field. Of course, if I see something where I feel that the pediatric care is not acceptable or we're missing something in newborn care, yes, definitely I'm going to speak up. But it's also my duty to actually be objective and remain focused. So I need to pay attention in any area where we have gaps, whether it's mental health or pediatrics or surgery or any other area. So I need to make sure we're not neglecting anything. And at the same time, a lot of the things I will have to pay attention to are actually non-medical topics also. So from the way we communicate with the public, to the way we do our fundraising, to the way we recruit field workers to work in our projects. Everything needs to be reviewed. And that's part of my responsibility as the president of Doctors Without Borders in Austria.
Letzte Frage. Wie hat es Sie eigentlich nach Österreich verschlagen?
First of all, I love being in Austria. I think it's a very great country. And the reason I ended up here, believe it or not, was that I met my now wife, who's Austrian. She's from Upper Austria. I met her working in the field on a project with Doctors Without Borders in Sierra Leone, which was my second mission. We both worked on the same project. It was a large hospital-based project with lots of malaria and other diseases. And other, we had a therapeutic feeding center there. And we did it was a comprehensive hospital. And she actually is trained as an MTA, a laboratory technician. So she kind of supervised the laboratory for Doctors Without Borders. And I was the pediatrician working in the intensive care unit, taking care of sick children. And that's how we got to know each other. And we shared the same passion about trying to pay attention to inequities and doing our job to at least even things out a little bit. And so we really got along. And then we eventually, after the mission, we decided to base ourselves in Vienna. And of course, moved around here and there with for a couple other positions. But eventually we came back to Vienna in 2015, and we've been here ever since. And now we have a young daughter. And so it's kind of interesting. So there's a big Austria connection, and there's a big Doctors Without Borders connection in our lives.
Das war Dr. Leo Ho im Originalton, der neue Präsident von Ärzte ohne Grenzen in Österreich. Auf eigenen Wunsch hin wurde das Interview auf Englisch aufgenommen. Noch einige biografische Daten. Dr. Leo Ho ist 47 Jahre alt, geboren in New York, aufgewachsen in Cleveland. Seine Frau und er haben eine gemeinsame Tochter. Das Paar lebt in Wien. Nächste Woche, nächste Chance, den Hörgang zu hören. Martin Burger wünscht alles Gute.